Welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa Conference Call. Today we are very fortunate to have Her Grace Preeti Vilasi Mataji to enlighten us on Shri Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So thank you so much, Mataji, for enlightening us and giving us your valuable association. So now I would like to hand over the call to you, Mataji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Patra Madhavi Mataji. Dhanyavad Pranam. My obeisances to everyone on the call.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
We are continuing to see from Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Last week we stopped at a point where Lord Shiva spoke about the glories of Prahlad Maharaj and asked Narada Muni to go and see Prahlad in Sutala Loka, where he was residing with his grandson Bali Maharaj. So we stopped there. We stopped at the instructions of Lord Shiva to Narada Muni, and Narada Muni was getting ready to go. So we'll continue from there. Om Ajnanatinirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Mande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam Nama Om Vishnapadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Radhanatha Swaminiti Namini Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namini Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharini Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Pachatiri Shatarini Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. All glories to Shiva Sanatana Goswami. So we are continuing to see the narration of Parikshit Maharaj to his mother Uttara. So this Brihad Bhagavatamrita is a narration of Parikshit Maharaj to his dear mother Uttara before he gave up his body. So Parikshit Maharaj was narrating to his mother Uttara about the travel of Narada Muni in search of the greatest recipient of the Lord's mercy. So we have seen different stages of Narada Muni's travel. And currently, we see that Narada Muni, in our story, was in Shivaloka. And after he heard the glories of Prahlad Maharaj as being the greatest devotee from Lord Shiva, he became very ecstatic. And Narada Muni, he started dancing and he was in total ecstasy and he decided to see Prahlad Maharaj. So Lord Shiva gave him this instruction, go and see Prahlad Maharaj in Sutala Loka. So Narada Muni, he's such a transcendental personality. He travels at the speed of mind. So Narada doesn't need any airplane or any visa or tickets or nothing, you know. He just doesn't need anything. Just standing in Shivaloka, he thinks about Sutala and he goes down to Sutala. So like that, Narada Muni, he appeared in Sutala Loka where Bali Maharaj and Vamanadeva were there. So as he appeared there, he sees Prahlad Maharaj, who is the grandfather of Bali Maharaj, who is residing there with him. And as soon as he appeared there, he saw Prahlad Maharaj was sitting there in a secluded place with his consciousness completely fixed on his very beloved Lord, who appeared as Narasimhadev. So though Prahlad Maharaj was in very deep meditation, he immediately became aware that his most worshipable spiritual master Narada Muni had come. So we all know that Narada Muni is actually the spiritual master of Prahlad Maharaj. So Prahlad Maharaj, when he was in the womb of Kayadu, the wife of Hiranyakashipu, we know that Narada Muni had taken her to his ashram and he was preaching to her. So the baby in the womb had heard the glories of the Lord. So Narada Muni was actually the spiritual master of Prahlad Maharaj. Now Prahlad Maharaj, since his meditation was on the lotus feet of the Lord and it was so deep, he was in such a deep trance in meditation, he couldn't get up at once. But as Narada Muni entered Sutala Loka and as Narada Muni drew close to him, somehow Prahlad Maharaj, he collected himself and he at once got up and he received his spiritual master Narada Muni with great, great love, and he welcomed him. He offered him a seat to sit down and he began to worship him with Argya and all the rules of standard worship when you receive a Vaishnava. But at that time, Narada Muni, he was feeling so much great reverence for Prahlad because he had just heard the wonderful glories of Prahlad from Lord Shiva. He saw the glories of Prahlad in so many classes, in the previous classes. Narada Muni was feeling so much respect for Prahlad Maharaj. Though Prahlad was his disciple, he was feeling so much reverence and he refused the worship that Prahlad was offering him. But instead, Narada Muni, out of love, he went and he embraced Prahlad. So Lord Shiva had actually warned him. Shiva told him, don't go and fall at his feet in your ecstasy. Embrace him instead. So like that, Prahlad Maharaj, though he was feeling so much respect, he controlled himself and he embraced Prahlad Maharaj. He refused the worship of Prahlad Maharaj. So like that, Narada Muni said, in his ecstasy, after so long, I've finally seen you, he told Prahlad Maharaj. And he said, Prahlad, you are the true recipient of Krishna's full mercy. All my efforts now have finally borne fruit. So Narada Muni had traveled all the way from Prayag to South India, to Indraloka, to Satyaloka, and then to Shivaloka. He had traveled to so many places. And now, finally, when he was in the lower planetary system, when he was in Sutala with Prahlad Maharaj, the great Bhakta, he thought, finally, I have now found the Lord's greatest devotee. So he said, finally, all my travel has borne fruit. All my effort has borne fruit. So Narada Muni said, my dear Prahlad, from your very, very childhood and from when you were very small, you were endowed with pure devotion for Krishna. You were always conscious of Krishna since you were a baby in the womb. And such spontaneous love, we have never seen anywhere else. Prahlad, you are the best. And we all understand that it actually takes one to know one, right? This is an English saying that to really know a person, you have to be that kind of a person to know that person. So Narada, he was such a great devotee that he really understood the glories of Prahlad Maharaj. Though Prahlad Maharaj was his own disciple, he could understand how exalted Prahlad Maharaj was. So that is very strange. The guru considered his disciple to be more advanced and to be more worshipable than himself. So similarly, we see even Prabhupada, he desired that all his disciples should become better than him. They should become more Krishna conscious than him. They should all become gurus. They should all do more and more preaching than himself. So, this is the nature of a Vaishnava guru. A guru becomes very, very happy when his disciples do better than him. But the disciple thinks in any way that he is better than his guru, then that egoistic mentality is highly condemnable. It's not good. Here, Guru Narada Muni considered his disciple Prahlad Maharaj to be millions and billions of times better than himself. And we see the same attitude in so many other devotees. We know when Dhruva Maharaj was on his way, he was looking out at Vaikuntha. Actually, when Dhruva Maharaj was going in the airplane back to Vaikuntha, he was looking around if his mother was actually going back to the spiritual world. And then the associates of Vishnu showed that actually his mother was actually going before him. So we see again in the beginning of this book, there is another classic example, Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami, when we saw the Mangalacharan prayers, we were seeing that he was giving credit to his own disciple Rupa Goswami. So this is mood. This is the mood of a guru. Narada Muni was thinking, my disciple is far more worshipable than me. So that is how Narada Muni was thinking. Narada Muni told Prahlad, Prahlad, you're such a wonderful devotee. When you were just 5 years old, Hiranyakashipu, your father, he outrageously committed so many offenses against you. But you were such a pure-hearted devotee that all the demoniac children who studied with you in your school, they actually became devotees of the Lord. And what did your father do? He tried so many ways to kill you. Hiranyakashipu, your great father, he terrorized this entire universe. He's known to conquer the demigods. He scared everyone. But he couldn't kill his own son in spite of throwing him beneath the feet of elephants, throwing him amongst huge venomous serpents, employing destructive spells, hurling him from the top of mountains, conjuring illusory tricks, starving him, putting him in a room and starving him, exposing him to severe cold, wind, fire, water, throwing stones on him to crush him. He tried everything possible. But then everything proved futile because the Lord was always there to protect Prahlad. So it would be impossible for anyone else to face the torments that Prahlad Maharaj faced. Prahlad was such a surrendered devotee and he was so fully absorbed in the remembrance of Krishna all the time that he was actually protected by the Lord. So if someone else ever faced what Prahlad faced, actually they would lose courage. They would even lose their faith in Krishna. Just imagine what all Prahlad went through. If any of us actually had to go through what Prahlad faced, imagine our condition. It requires so much courage. It requires so much faith in Krishna. Complete surrender to Krishna. Prahlad was solid. He was solidly fixed in devotional service. He had so much surrender and complete absorption. He was always thinking of the Lord. So not only was he fixed in the thoughts of Krishna, but Prahlad Maharaj was even completely empowered to preach. Otherwise, how can all his demoniac friends become Vaishnavas in spite of being in the kingdom of Hiranyakashipu? It was highly impossible. It was possible only because of the special empowerment, the special mercy that Prahlad had from the Lord. So it is interesting to see how a pure devotee like Prahlad Maharaj made everyone a devotee. And even now, this Prahlad Maharaj, he continues to make more devotees like us. That is the power of a bhakta. So we are all reading about Prahlad Maharaj in Srimad Bhagavatam and so many other scriptures. To this day, even after millions and millions and millions of years, so many devotees are being inspired by this little boy, Prahlad Maharaj. He is a great hero because he still continues to preach by his example. So during the time of Prahlad, not only during the time of Prahlad Maharaj, but even today, millions are inspired by this wonderful devotee. He has so much potency. So anyway, during the time of Prahlad Maharaj, whoever heard his instructions and whoever was with him, whoever came in contact with him, they all became Vaishnavas. So this is actually confirmed in the Hari Bhakti Sarodaya. This is a part of the Narada Purana. And there, Goddess Earth, Dharini Devi, she glorifies Prahlad Maharaj. She says, this human world is especially fortunate since you, the best of Vaishnavas, are present. Everyone who touches you or sees you, sees the symptoms of your ecstatic emotions, they will all become entitled to take up residence in Hari Lok. So this is the prayers of Dharini Devi when she sees Prahlad Maharaj. So Prahlad was so special that anyone who came in touch with him, just by seeing the ecstatic emotions that Prahlad was displaying, they would become entitled to take up residence in the spiritual world. So Narada said, you are always so immersed in the thoughts of Hari. You were so immersed in the thoughts of Hari. In fact, at that time, when you were immersed in the thoughts of Hari, you seemed to forget your own existence. You were like a madman. You sang, you danced, your body was trembling. In this way, you spread devotional service unto Lord Vishnu, delivering everyone around you from the cycle of material life. You are filling them with ecstasy and joy. Actually, a devotee, he behaves in very unusual ways that common people may think that either he is intoxicated or he is insane. So if you see a person who is really intoxicated by love of God, he behaves in unusual ways. So when a common man sees that, he doesn't understand it. He will be under the impression that either this person is taking some kind of drugs or intoxication, or he is a madman, you know. He's just a crazy guy and he's doing all this. But Prahlad Maharaj, he was not artificially acting insane. Rather, he was actually manifesting the symptoms of ecstatic love for Krishna. Actually, there is a very beautiful painting where Prahlad Maharaj is jumping with his arms raised, and all his friends around him are being affected by the presence of Prahlad Maharaj. There's a very beautiful painting. Sorry, I didn't send it now, but I sent other pictures, and we'll talk about those pictures in a while. So anyway, Prahlad Maharaj was such a devotee. And just by seeing Prahlad Maharaj, everyone was relieved. They were all relieved of worldly contamination. So again, in Hari Bhakti Sudodaya of Narada Puran, there's a verse that describes what happened to people around Prahlad. So this verse says, upon hearing his brilliant words, some people felt extraordinary sense of detachment from material life. And they began to shed tears. Others who saw him responded by bowing down to him. Others stood in groups just stunned, watching him playfully laugh. All these people were relieved of their worldly contamination when they saw Prahlad Maharaj. So like this, Prahlad Maharaj, he delivered the ordinary people, not only freeing them from unhappiness, but also giving them that pure devotion to serve the Lord. So this is how a pure devotee, a little boy, Prahlad Maharaj, who was born in the family of demons, was actually affecting everybody by his example, by the symptoms of love that he was manifesting. And this is exactly what happened in the presence of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was manifesting the symptoms of ecstasy, he had extraordinary effect on the people around him. So there is this very beautiful pastime of Lord Chaitanya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the fisherman. You must have all heard of this pastime. So once Swarup Damodar and other devotees of the Lord, they were all looking for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So they were all searching for the Lord because they didn't find him around. And they came to the sea searching for the Lord. At that time, a crying, laughing and a dancing fisherman was seen. And as they were passing along this beach, they saw this fisherman, and they approached this fisherman who was dancing like a crazy person, having a net over his shoulder. So he was laughing, he was crying, he was dancing, he was singing, and he kept on repeating the holy names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Like that, he was jumping. So seeing the activities of this fisherman, everyone was actually astonished. And Swarup Damodar could understand that something special has happened. So Swarup Damodar and his associates, they went to him and they asked him for some information. So Swarup Damodar asked this fisherman, he said, my dear fisherman, why are you behaving like this? Have you seen something strange or something different? What is the cause of your behavior? Please tell us. So at that time, the fisherman said, I have not seen a single person here, but while casting my net in the water, I captured a dead body. A dead body came into my net. And I lifted it with great care, first thinking that it is a big fish. But as soon as I saw the net, I looked into the net, I saw that it was a huge corpse. It was a dead body. And with great fear, in my mind, I started trembling. I tried to release the net. I touched the body. But as soon as I touched the body, it was a ghost. It entered my heart. And as soon as this ghost entered my heart, I started to shiver. And in fear, I started shedding tears. My voice faltered. And all the hairs on my body were standing up. I didn't know whether this was a ghost of a dead Brahmana or an ordinary man. But as soon as one looks upon this,
this ghost will enter your body. And this body of this ghost was so big, it was so long, it was 5 to 7 cubits. Each of his arms and legs is as much as 3 cubits long. Its joints are all separated beneath the skin and it looks completely slack. And no one could see it and remain alive, you know, in this body. I am feeling totally different. I've seen a ghost directly and it's haunting me now and I've gone crazy. But if I die like this in this kind of a crazy situation, who will take care of my family and children? This ghost is very difficult to take out. I'm going to go to an exorcist and I'm going to ask him if he can release this ghost from me. In fact, I am so bored. I wander around in the night. I kill fish in solitary places because I remember the glories of Narasimha Dev. I always chant Narasimha mantras and when I go out, you know, alone for protection. But today I chanted this Narasimha mantra also. But this ghost, actually he comes back to me with redoubled strength when I chant the Narasimha mantra. Something is totally wrong. When I chant the Narasimha mantra, the ghost is not going away. Rather, he's coming back with full power. So the fisherman was like totally confused. And he said, that get that ghost there in the net. Please don't go that side. If you go there, that ghost will catch you also. You will also become like me. So hearing all this, Parubdha mother could understand the truth of this incident. And he calmed down the fisherman. The fisherman had actually caught Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his net. And Swarup Damodar said to the fisherman, my dear sir, the person whom you are talking about as a ghost is actually not a ghost, but he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because of his ecstatic love, he fell into the sea and you caught him in your net and you rescued him. And simply by touching his body, simply by touching him, the dormant love for Krishna is awakened in your body. And because you thought him to be a ghost, you have become afraid of him. Now please forget this fear. There's nothing to be worried about. Become peaceful. And show me where Mahaprabhu is. Now the fisherman heard this. He said, I have seen Lord Chaitanya many times. And I'm sure this is not him. The body is so completely deformed. Then Swarup Damodar said, the Lord's body becomes deformed and transformed in love for God. Sometimes the joints of his bones separate out. His body becomes very elongated. And he appears very pale and he appears very different. So hearing this, the fisherman was convinced and he became very happy. And he brought all the devotees and showed them where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was caught in a net. And the devotees, they saw the beautiful body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was completely deformed. The Lord was lying on the ground. His body was elongated. It was bleached white by the water. And from head to toe, he was covered with sand. His body was completely stretched out. His skin was so slack, it was hanging loose. So then very carefully, the devotees, they lifted him. They changed his garments. They put him on a clean cloth. They cleaned his body and they performed Sankirtan, loudly chanting the holy names of Krishna into his ear, into Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ear. So after some time, after hearing the sound of the holy names, the Lord got up and he made a big noise. And as soon as he got up, the bones, they actually resumed their proper places. So here, we see an example of manifestation of ecstatic symptoms. How just by touching Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this fisherman, he got affected by love for God. So similarly, Prahlad was like that. All the demoniac students in his class, they would get ecstasy just by seeing him and touching him. It was like that. That is the tremendous power and that is the tremendous effect that Prahlad Maharaj brought about. And this is recorded in so many scriptures. And we see how Sanatan Goswami very beautifully quotes from Narada Purana and other places, the different prayers offered by Dharini Devi and others. So Prahlad Maharaj, glorifying him, glorifying his mood, glorifying his ecstasy. So then Narada Muni continued, my dear Prahlad, after killing your father Hiranyakashipu, Lord Narasimha Dev, he was actually very, very furious. He was still angry. Nobody could pacify him. The Lord's personal servants like Garuda and even his own consort, Goddess Lakshmi Devi, Brahma. All the demigods present with Brahma. Nobody could approach him. Then Brahma asked you to go and appease the Lord. Then you went forward and you fell at the Lord's divine feet. What did the Lord do? The Lord put his divine lotus hand upon your head and blessed you. That's the first thing the Lord did. Then Lord Narasimhadev, very lovingly, he embraced you and he began licking your entire body. Just like how a lioness licks her cub. So this is practically recorded in the Narasimha Purana. The Lord licking Prahlad with love. So Sanatan Goswami quotes a statement from Narasimha Purana where when the Lord saw Prahlad Maharaj with so much affection, he just picked up Prahlad and he started licking his entire body. Then Narada Muni said, when he went close to him, the Lord, he placed you on his lap and caressed you like how a mother would caress a child. At that time, the Lord honored you, ignoring everybody else. This is also recorded in the Narada Purana, Hari Bhakti Vilas. So just try to visualize this. This is a verse from Hari Bhakti Vilas, Narada Purana. The Lord, who's friendly only to his devotees, then sat on the ground and put Prahlad on his lap. Gently rocking back and forth, he patted Prahlad with his lotus hands and embraced him repeatedly like how a mother embraces a child. Thus, the Supreme Personality of Godhead attended to Prahlad, disregarding many other exalted persons present there. So like this, Prahlad Maharaj was taken with so much love by Narasimhadev. So many of you are mothers. You can easily relate to this. Just like how a mother affectionately takes her child in her arms, pats the baby's back, rocks the baby back and forth with love, in spite of having so many visitors at home. Similarly, Prahlad Maharaj was so affectionately treated by the Lord. So this is actually very interesting. How all these three beautiful exchanges are recorded in scripture, and also we have sweet paintings that depict these three exchanges. What are those three exchanges? The Lord placing his lotus hands on Prahlad's head, the Lord licking Prahlad's body with so much love, and the Lord rocking his baby Prahlad in his arms. So I send these three paintings so that we can meditate on these three exchanges of Lord Narasimhadev with Prahlad Maharaj. And we see how Sanatan Goswami actually quotes so nicely from various Puranas. He has highlighted these very sweet exchanges from different Puranas. And when Lord Narasimhadev, after these beautiful exchanges, he spoke to Prahlad Maharaj and he offered Prahlad Maharaj a benediction of even liberation. So at that time, what did Prahlad do? Prahlad requested that he can only have pure devotion to the Lord birth after birth. So we saw this in the previous class, how Lord Shiva was explaining all these details. Prahlad only asked for pure devotion. He was ready to take as many births as needed, but all that he wanted is only pure devotion. He didn't even want liberation. And in fact, Prahlad, he readily accepted the throne after Hiranyakashipu's death. But what did he do sitting on the throne? He used his power as a king only to preach the glories of the Lord and deliver the people from distress of this world. In fact, when Prahlad ruled, actually he ruled in a very righteous and a God-conscious manner. And we see that in the prayers of Prahlad, that all that Prahlad wanted was just mercy on all living entities, not only on his subjects, on everybody. All that he requested was mercy on all living entities. He wanted everyone to be relieved, everyone to be delivered from the pangs of this, you know, material world, the suffering of this material world. So he only requested the mercy of the Lord. In Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a very beautiful prayer of Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj says, my dear Lord, you're always transcendently situated on the other side of the river of death. This other river of death is called Vaitarani. So the Lord is on the other side. But because of the reactions of our own activities, we are suffering on this side. Indeed, we have fallen into this river and we are repeatedly suffering the pains of birth and death and eating horrible things. Now kindly look upon us, not only upon me, but also upon others who are suffering. and by your causeless mercy and compassion, you deliver us and you maintain us. This is Srimad Bhagavatam 7.9.41. You can see the purport of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada has very beautifully given a purport for this wonderful verse. So this was the mood of Prahlad Maharaj. Even when he was, you know, the so-called king after Hiranyakashipu, he ruled with righteousness, and all that he desired was the mercy of the Lord, not just on himself, but on all living entities who are suffering in this material world. So that's Prahlad's mood. So then Narada said, "My dear Prahlad, do you remember this incident? Once you went to the Naimisharanya forest to have darshan of Lord Narayan. He is known as Pitavasa in that place. Actually, 2 days back we had a class by Chaitanya Leela Prabhu, I think early morning class, and Prabhu was also mentioning about the story that is recorded in the Vamana Purana. So we'll see about the story in short. Narada Muni, he reminded Prahlad that once you went to the Naimisha forest to have darshan of Lord, who is known as Pitavasa. This Lord wears yellow garments. That's why he's called as Pitavasa. And when you went there, you actually had a combat with the Lord himself. And after the combat, the Lord declared that he is always conquered by you. So this is a very beautiful incident, as I said, was recorded in Vamana Purana. Once Prahlad, he took a trip to Naimisharanya to see the Lord Pitavasa, the Lord who wears a yellow dress and who lives in Naimisharanya. So while Prahlad was traveling on the road to go and take darshan of the Lord, he actually met a strange person. Now this person was dressed like an austere renunciant. He was wearing the dress of a renunciant, but interestingly, he was carrying a bow and arrow. He was also carrying a bow and arrow. And Prahlad, when he saw the strange person, he assumed that he has a very contradictory appearance, so he must be a hypocrite. He's abusing the principles of religion. He's trying to show that he's a renunciate, he's a sannyasi, he's an austere person, but why is he carrying a bow and arrow? So Prahlad, actually there was a fight that happened between sannyasi and Prahlad. Prahlad started a fight with him. Prahlad was convinced that this is a bogus person and he's a hypocrite. So Prahlad started a fight with the sannyasi, and he made a vow that he would defeat this hypocritical sannyasi. And they started fighting very seriously. And this fight went on for several days. Just like how Jambavan and Krishna were fighting. Like that, Prahlad Maharaj and the strange man was fighting. They went on fighting for several days. But Prahlad Maharaj, he was a very good Kshatriya. Not only was he a great devotee, but he was a great Kshatriya as well. He couldn't win over his adversary. He was trying to fight, but he couldn't win over this person. And one early morning, just before resuming his fight with this person, Prahlad Maharaj, he went to his personal deity and he worshipped his personal deity and he offered his personal deity a beautiful garland. Okay? He offered this beautiful garland and he turned around to his enemy to fight with him. But then to his surprise, he saw that this opponent of his was standing there in front of him, was wearing the same garland that he had offered to his Lord. And the garland on the deity was missing. But then Prahlad understood that this sannyasi was the same Pitavasa Narayana. So he reverently offered prayers to this Lord, and the Lord lovingly again placed his lotus hands on Prahlad, just like how he placed his lotus hands on him when he came as Narsingadev. So when the Lord's hands were placed on Prahlad Maharaj's head, Prahlad Maharaj, all his fatigue was lost from fighting and he was relieved. And Prahlad Maharaj thought about his vow. He said to the Lord, "What do I do? I made a vow and now I'll be transgressing the duty of a Kshatriya." He said, "I made a promise to fight and defeat his opponent, but now he sees that his opponent is the Supreme Lord, his most worshipable Lord. So how could he fight with him and how could he defeat the Lord now?" So Prahlad became worried. "Oh, I'm now going to break the promise of a Kshatriya. I'm going to break my principles." So at that time, the Lord was actually fully satisfied by the sport of fighting with Prahlad. He wanted to have a good fight with Prahlad. He enjoyed the sport and he was satisfied. Then the Lord told him, actually, Prahlad, there's nothing to be worried because I'm always conquered by you. You are my devotee and I'm conquered by the love of my devotee. The Lord is always conquered by the love of his devotee. So you have already conquered me. You have kept up your word as a Kshatriya. So that's why it is said, bhakti, pure devotion is very, very rare. The Lord doesn't give it easily because the Lord becomes subservient to the person. He becomes purchased by the love of the devotee. So the devotee has always conquered the Lord. So Narada Muni, he told about this incident. Do you remember this incident? The Lord said, he's conquered by you. So the Lord has been conquered by Prahlad. And saying this, Narada Muni, he started jumping and he was dancing and shouting in ecstasy. He said, the Lord is being conquered by us. The Lord is being conquered by us. The Lord is being conquered by all the devotees. So Narada Muni, he claimed victory not only for Prahlad, but for all the devotees of the Lord. Not only him, not only Prahlad, but for everybody. All the devotees of the Lord, he was conquering victory. Then Narada said, my dear Prahlad, not only did you conquer the Lord by your love, but all your descendants also, they became so favorable to the Lord. Bali Maharaj also, because of your mercy, conquered the Lord. Lord Vamanadev stands as the doorkeeper of Bali Maharaj. He never leaves the company of Bali Maharaj. So there is another story in the Skanda Purana from the Prahlada Samhita, Dwaraka Mahima section, Sanatan Goswami quote. It seems there were 10 wicked daityas who once attacked Dwaraka. And following this attack, some of the residents of Dwaraka became very, very worried. So some residents of Dwaraka, along with Durvasa Muni, keeping Durvasa as their leader, they went to Sutala planetary system and complained to Vamanadev about what had happened. Because the daityas had come and they had attacked Dwaraka. So they went and complained to Vamanadev. And Durvasa Muni and the other residents, they told Vamanadev that, you know, you are the Lord, you better leave this place and you come with us. But then Vamanadev, he refused to go with them. He said, no, I'm not going to come with you. First, you need to take permission from Bali Maharaj. If Bali Maharaj lets me go, then I will come with you. I am subservient to his love. If he allows, then I will come. So when Durvasa went and approached Bali Maharaj to send Vamanadev with them, Bali Maharaj said, no, I cannot give you permission. I cannot let Vamanadev leave. Vamanadev is my worshipable Supreme Lord and he has come here and he is doing us a favor by being here. I am not going to leave worshipping his lotus feet. His lotus feet is being worshipped by great lords like Brahma and Shiva. And they are not able to give up the worship of his lotus feet. Even I am not going to give up the worship of his lotus feet. I am not leaving him anywhere. You do whatever you want, but I will never give up the association of Vamanadev. So like that, Narada Muni was saying, see how nice the Lord is. He's conquered by all of you. He's ready. He just wants to be with all of you. He wants to be with you. He wants to be with Prahlad. That's all the Lord wants. He wants to be with Bali and he wants to be with Prahlad. So, Sir Prahlad, you're wonderful. You know what? I'm not going to stay with you forever here in your company. I'm just going to be in Sutala planetary system. I just want to see you. I want to be with you. Because I know by your power, I know for certain that I can even overcome the curses that I have received from Daksha Prajapati and others. So what is the curse that Narada Muni carries? The curse that he had was to never stay in one place and to keep traveling. So when in his ecstasy, Narada Muni, when he saw how nicely Prahlad Maharaj has conquered the Lord by love, he said, you are the best. I want to stay with you. I'm not even going to travel anymore. And to whatever curse this Daksha Prajapati is given, it's useless. It's okay. I know you will take care of it by your devotion. So like that, he said, I'm not even going to go away from here. I'm not going to travel anymore. So about this curse that Narada Muni carried, Srimad Bhagavatam describes that Narada Muni, he was such a wonderful devotee that he had no other business but chanting the glories of the Lord. Actually, Narayanani, in his previous birth, we all know that he was the son of a Shudra. And what did he do at that time? He heard very submissively from great souls, the science of Krishna consciousness. He took the remnants of, whatever they had. He followed in their footsteps. He just took their Mahaprasad. He rendered very menial services to them. He washed their plates. He served them very menially. He was not doing any big service. It was not that he was building big, big temples or he was sponsoring huge events or tours. Nothing. He was just doing something very simple. He was just washing their plates. He was, eating the Mahaprasad that they had left. So that is all he did. That is all the capacity he had to do. But because he did it with so much sincerity, the Lord became very pleased with him. And later, he was given the role of Narada Muni in his next life. So as Narada Muni, what he did, he was simply traveling everywhere, playing on his veena and preaching the glories of the Lord. All that he was doing is chanting the names of Radhika Raman on his veena, and he was traveling from one place to the other, feeling very happy. While he was doing this, he was also very controversial. So there is a story in the sixth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam that how Daksha Prajapati had many sons. He had 10,000 sons. His first set of 10,000 sons. They were called as Hariyashvas. Now, this Narada Muni, he converted all these 10,000 sons of Daksha Prajapati into devotees. Daksha was a very religious man, but he was also a materialistically religious man. And Narada Muni was a religious man, but he was not materialistic. He only understood one thing, that is surrender to the Lord. So Daksha, he wanted his sons to get married and his sons to produce many children, because that is his job, right? He was a Prajapati. He wanted his sons to follow in his footsteps and procreate many, many people in this world. But what did Narada Muni do? Narada Muni interfered and he told them, all this is nonsense. Your father wants you to go to a deep, dark well of family life. Why be a procreator? You should just chant Hare Krishna, be happy, forget all this, just surrender to the Lord and become 100% full-time devotees. Become a brahmachari. So all the 10,000 devotees, they agreed to what Narada Muni said. They were completely convinced by Narada Muni, saying that he is my guru, and they all gave up family life. And Daksha became very, very angry. What is this Narada Muni? He's spoiling all of them. He's interfering with my service. So then Daksha Prajapati, he had 10,000 more sons called as the Savalashvas. And Daksha told them again, he told them, see, your first 10,000 brothers, they were all brainwashed by Narada Muni. Now you don't listen to this Narada Muni. Even if he comes in search of you and tries to distract your attention, keep in mind that your only sole mission is to procreate and increase the prajas. But then what did Narada Muni do? Again he met them and Narada began preaching to them and he said, see how happy your brothers are. Just see how happy the 10,000 brothers are. Do you want to become like them? Do you want to be happy all the time? And then he preached to these boys nice Krishna conscious philosophy and they all surrendered. So, and they also decided to become brahmacharis. So after this, Daksha Prajapati, he became very angry and he chastised Narada Muni and he said, you don't understand religious principles, Narada Muni. You see what you have done to all my children. I wanted my children to first experience the pleasures of this world before they renounce them. Otherwise, why are you making them renounce like this in such an immature fashion? You are breaking my religious principles in the name of being a sage. And you are so hopeless, you're a rogue, you're a cheater. So Daksha Prajapati was very angry with Narada Muni. Narada did it for good. But Daksha felt that his mission was spoiled. So he called Narada Muni a cheater. And he cursed Narada Muni that you will never be able to have a residence. And you will be traveling all over the world. So that was the curse that Narada Muni had carried. But when Narada was cursed like this by Daksha Prajapati, what happened? He became very happy. He said, thank you very much. And he said, Tad Bhadam, yes, what you have said is good. I accept this curse. This is the words of Srimad Bhagavatam. So therefore, he's always traveling around. So that was the curse given to Narada Muni. Srila Prabhupada said Then he came to the West and he made young American boys and girls Krishna conscious. He said their parents had given him a similar curse because he's always now traveling and preaching. Prabhupada circled the world 11 times in this, you know, 14 times rather, in his 12 years, from 73 to 81. You know, just imagine that old age he was traveling. But Prabhupada said, you know, I've been traveling everywhere. I'm carrying the curse of this Narada Muni and I'm traveling everywhere. And then he said, I also like to transcribe all the Vedic literature. So I'm asking my sannyasi disciples to take this curse on my behalf and travel. So we see that the disciples of Prabhupada are also traveling everywhere. And Prabhupada was a genuine follower of Narada Muni. Narada Muni was the guru of Prahlad Maharaj. He was the guru of Dhruva Maharaj. He was the guru of Nrigari. He was the guru of Prachina Barhi. He was the guru of Valmiki. He was the guru of so many people. Just by traveling and traveling and traveling everywhere, he has delivered so many of them. Wherever he went, he would teach them one thing, recite the name of Krishna and become a surrendered devotee. So this was the mission of Narada Muni. Anyway, so Narada Muni is now telling Prahlad, you know what, I have been cursed by Daksha to keep traveling. And also I have similar curses from others also. There is one story, an allegoric story of Prachina Barhi. Actually, it's an allegoric story, but there, the daughter of Kala, time actually curses Narada Muni, and she also says the same thing, you will be traveling everywhere. So like this, Narada Muni said, I have many curses, you know, similar curses. But by your influence, Prahlad, I can easily get over this curse. I will stay here, and by your influence, everything will be fine. You're such a wonderful devotee. So like that, he finished glorifying Prahlad, and unable to tolerate his own praise, Prahlad lowered his head. His face was filled with embarrassment. He humbly bowed down before Narada Muni, and in a very, very gentle, reverential voice, he began to speak with his guru. So now we will see what Prahlad said to Narada Muni and what Narada Muni did after that in our next class. Any questions, comments, realizations, corrections, please go ahead. Hare Krishna. Thank you for your attention.
Awesome class, speechless. I really don't have any words to glorify you, but it's really awesome. The way you express, the way you narrate it, the way you narrate these stories, it's awesome, awesome. Thank you so much. Don't have any question as such, but really want to glorify you. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Kirtira Sundari Mataji. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you, Mataji. All glories to Guru and Gauranga.
Hare Krishna, Vilasini Mataji. Agwa Shiva Prabhupada Guru Maharaj. Again, thank you, as Kirtira Sundari Mataji said. Beautiful, beautiful narration. I want to thank you for actually citing those different verses that described how Lord Nrsimhadev was caressing and holding Prahlad Maharaj, because I always thought that these were just kind of like, I don't want to say imagination, but maybe something that some devotees don't. And then to realize that they're actually from scripture also is so, it's just bliss. I don't want to say blissful. It's just so, I don't know, heartfelt. It just touches your heart when you realize that this is how, you know, this is how it is. This is how that relationship is. It just brings it so much in front of our vision, you know, that we can see it. So that was really beautiful. And I wanted to just share something, and I don't know if it's really that relevant, but when you were, it just brought a memory to mind, and so I was just thinking about it, and it's with my Guru Maharaj. And it was, I actually had, after a whole big, long discussion, I was finally going to get initiated, so I had gone to my Guru Maharaj and said, well, before I wanted to get initiated and I wasn't sure if this was, you know, if it was good or if I should. Anyway, a lot of things were going on at the time. So at the night before I went to sleep, I requested Guru Maharaj, you know, I said, I need a sign. Somehow I need a sign that I know that that this is the right thing and I need to really pursue it. And so my Guru Maharaj, you know, as many of you know, he was paralyzed at that point. He's still, you know, on his right side. So whenever he would bless devotees, he would use his left hand and he would take his right hand and put it on your head and bless you. Mm-hmm. And because his right hand didn't have any control, it was a very strong pressure. It was just a certain kind of pressure that you could, it was just very specific and special. So that night, when I went to sleep, I asked this question, you know, shall I pursue this? You know, is this the right thing to do? I actually felt that pressure on my head, and I thought, remember getting up and thinking, oh, that was the sign. He's blessing me, he says, and it just reminded me of that. And incidentally, it's interesting that it was actually Nrsimha Jayanti that day when I went and told Guru Maharaj that yes. We can, you know, I'm going to go through with this, and it's, you know, everything's okay, and it's work, and this, and so it just, I don't know, just for me, it came very full circle, you know. It just, was just feeling that, you know, pressure again when you said that. So thank you so very much for bringing back some very, very wonderful memories. Hare Krishna.
Thank you for sharing. It's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. The exchanges between disciple and guru, the exchanges between a devotee and the Lord. They are so priceless, so beautiful, Mataji. And I also wanted to say about the first part of the comment that you made, that you were also thinking that actually these are imaginations, and very true, even I was thinking. Actually, these were imaginations before, especially the licking part. And I mean, licking part, yes, I heard, but I wasn't sure. And, you know, these paintings, even I used to wonder, was gently rocking the, you know, putting Prahlad on his shoulder and rocking. When I was thinking it's just a figment of imagination. They're just imagining that. But when I saw these references by Sanatan Goswami, I was thinking, my God, these are not any imagination. It is based on scripture. Every painting is so shastric. So that's why I was so impelled to forward those images before the class. I had saved these images and I then forwarded them. Because it made me feel so good, actually, like how you expressed. Thank you, Mataji.
And I was just thinking as you said that, and just to think of the artists who drew these pictures, where mm-hmm. what stage of devotion are they in? Amazing.
Yeah, painting is such a big meditation. Even I often wonder about these artists, how much meditation they must have, right, to paint. If you I mean, like, you know, since you mentioned that, I was even thinking of how Prabhupada would actually have these letter conversations with the painters, and he would give them guidelines about how painting should be shastric. So it's so beautiful, so beautiful. They have so much guidance from Guru, and they just meditate so much on the pastimes and on the beautiful form of the Lord. It's such a beautiful service. Yes, Mataji, thank you so much.
Hare Krishna, Priti Vilasini Gopi, Dandavat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. As usual, how nicely you narrating the Leelas, like my grandma is explaining. Sometimes we miss some point, but Mataji, thank you very much for your association, and thank you very much, you inspiring us to hear every day Japa conference call, and then Bhagavatam, after that Chaitanya Charanamrut. You know, Mataji, it's really hard to sit in one corner and read 15 minutes Bhagavatam, and especially Chaitanya Charanamrut is little hard for us. But how nicely Shishi Bhagavatam you explain, Shishi Chaitanamrut you explain. Thank you very much, Kirtida Sundari. Thank you very much, Paneshwari Mataji. Thank you, dear Gopi Priti Vilasini Gopi, for everything. How hard work you are doing for all of us. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai, Dandavat Pranam.
Vrinda Gopika Mataji, thank you. Thank you. All glories to you. All glories to your sincere listening. Your listening makes everything sweet, Mataji. And thank you.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dhanat Pranam. Sita Priti here. Mataji, thank you for your wonderful class. Like, you, those pictures, they just come into reality, you know, when you are speaking. It is such a beautiful explanation you give. And Mataji, I had a query. When Prajapati Daksha was agitated that his sons did not get to have the a normal grihastha life and then go into the sannyasa life, so was it that he was intending that they should go into the sannyasa life? Was his, that was his intention?
Who? Narada Muni?
Prajapati Daksha.
Prajapati didn't want, he wanted his sons to procreate and be in family life. But then Narada Muni came and interfered. So then finally Prajapati had daughters and then Narada Muni couldn't do anything. So they all got married and they procreated later with the rishis.
Right. So like initially when he had sons, he was thinking of them having into a married life. And then later, later on he did intend them to get into a sannyasa life.
Maybe. That's how the story goes. That's how he speaks. This is not the time for, you know, he wants them to procreate. But eventually, yes, Mataji, in those days, I mean, I don't know really the what Prajapati Daksha was thinking, but in those days, it was a common phenomenon to actually enter into Grihastha, Vanaprastha and Sannyasa. This was a common trend, right? Only in these days, we don't have such a structure. So it must have been natural. That's what I would say. But again, I don't have any. Maybe if I read the purpose again, I could probably get more insights on what exactly he was thinking. But I don't remember anything off my head now.
Mm-hmm. So, Adaji, I was just thinking, like in this current age or this current yuga, because there are some of the. They enter into sannyasa life, right? We have so many prabhus and so many sannyasi prabhus, right? So then they, at certain age, they have thought about that. So as a parent, I don't know, like what that is, like whether, what would, like just like thinking of, okay, like let the child have each and every stage and then enter into that or directly enter into a sannyasa stage. Like what would be the mentality or what would be a right thing to do? I know there is no right and wrong into it.
So the idea is, Mataji, it's about the child. It's not so much about us in one sense, because it's about the child, how much austerity he can take, whether he can really continue to be a brahmachari and then directly a sannyas. Or, you know, generally it is very difficult. We think, you know, everyone is a sannyasi, it's easy. No, it's extremely difficult. Look at so many brahmacharis who have initially been brahmacharis. You cannot hold on to brahmacharya for too long. So a healthy practice would be to get them married, because, you know, we are not so advanced in one sense. But then there are some selected souls who will take sannyas, and we shouldn't stop them as well. So it entirely depends on the child. It depends on the what the child is meant to do. It depends on, of course, Guru's blessings. It depends on so many, Krishna's will. So it's a complicated thing, but, you know, as a parent, like any other parent, we would want them to go through different stages, because we are not sure if the child is going to hold on to brahmacharya. You don't want them to have fall downs. So that is something that you want to be aware of, right? So it's a natural thing. But then if you see that the child is very committed, like I can give, okay, no, I don't want to give this example. Okay, anyway, you must be seeing, no, because it's about someone personal, right? So I don't want to talk about it. So you must be seeing certain examples around you, some brahmacharis who have been very strict brahmacharis all their life, who are able to control and just be brahmachari and then become sannyasis also eventually by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. But there are some who cannot, and there's no fault in that. So as a parent, we can facilitate them to get married. That's a good thing also. Because everyone can be Krishna conscious irrespective of which ashram they are, you know. That is the principle of Krishna consciousness. Depends on the child. It depends on mercy of Krishna and Guru.
Sure, Mataji. Thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare go.
Hare Krishna, Priti Mataji. My humble obeisance to you. So wonderful class, Mataji, as usual. And you have given so nectar from all the scriptures, Mataji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Supriya Mataji. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you for your association. Thank you for your comments.
Dharmat Pranam Mataji, all glories to Srila Prabhupada and Gurudev. This is Sarika Mataji. Very, very wonderful class. This is so many pastimes we're coming to know. At least I was not aware of so many of them. And even the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was one of the pastimes which you mentioned, that fisherman, that part was also new to me. But thank you so much for making it so simple in a story form and explaining it to us. Just like we are like small kids, at least I am like a small kid. And I'm listening to the story, and somehow in the story form, I feel whenever we listen to anything, you know, it will be etched on our mind for a much, much longer time. Sometimes philosophy does not stick so hard. Mm. So story with the philosophy and the lesson, that really will hopefully be so inspiring that eventually we will, at least I will try to imbibe certain some qualities, probably, do something. So, but, Mataji, thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Kalika Mataji. Very, very nicely said. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Gaurangi, Mataji.
Well, I certainly echo the comments that everyone has made about your storytelling. You already know how I feel. I think you are the acharya for storytelling. You speak the story so fluently as if you were there personally. I do have a question about the fact that Daksha Prajapati cursed Narada to never be settled in one place. And normally I feel like we can see some correlation between the quote-unquote transgression and the curse, you know. But in this case, I don't see the relationship at all between the fact that, you know, Narada encouraged Prajapati's and Daksha's sons to take sannyas, and his having to travel all over the universe. I don't know, can you see some connection?
Oh, that's a good question. I've never thought about it.
Because, you know, for example,
as
far as relationship between transgression and curse, I'm thinking of the twin Arjuna trees, you know? They were
standing, and hence they were naked, and then they were asked to stand as trees.
Yeah, so because they were inappropriately naked before exalted devotees, so they want to be naked, so then they become trees, you know. So normally
so
you can see some relationship, but this time I don't see.
Okay, I don't know if this is correct, but this is something that comes to my mind. There is something called a Parivrajaka Acharya, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Parivrajaka means traveling all over the world and preaching. That's a sannyasi. There are two kinds of sannyasis. One is like a sannyasi who stays in an ashram and preaches.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's called as they have a term for it. I think I don't remember the term.
Mm-hmm.
So and there's the Parivrajaka Acharya who goes around the world preaching and delivering people. So all that I can think of is, since, you know, sannyasi to sannyasi, okay, you made them, you know, renunciants, practicing these, you know, giving up family life and practicing austerity and all. See, you will become a heavy renunciant in the sense that you're going to travel everywhere and preach. You're going to become a Parivrajakacharya, like that, going everywhere. You know, you're becoming that kind of a sannyasi. That's the only relationship in the curse that I can see.
Well, sounds good to me.
Yeah, okay.
I like it.
Hare Krishna Mataji. Sorry,
yes,
for comment in this question, Mataji. I think this Daksha Prajapati was giving the course to Narada Muni because he was first 10,000 sons. He actually made them Brahmacharya and then renounceria. And after that, again, he was there and he was second son also, second all 10,000 son also he was making them renounce her. Means two times you were staying and giving them instruction, and then Dr. Prajapati was very angry because since he was living there long time and he was making them
taking so much effort to have so many kids.
That's why maybe he wanted him to not stay a long time one place and make them the people like sannyasi, you know, whole life. The reason because he was staying long time there, and then because 3 days means he cannot stay one place, means he go and visit and he can, that much of access is not there, no? maybe the reason I was thinking, you know, I was reading that part only.
Very nice. Thank you.
Can you please repeat the question what she was asking?
Yes, and the connection also, I didn't get that connection between the fact that Daksha had to stay in one place for so long and then he cursed. I didn't get it, actually.
So what she was saying, what Anjana Gopika Mataji was saying is that, you know, if he's going to stay in a place for too long, his influence is going to be longer. But whereas if he goes on moving, his influence on others will be lesser. That is the idea that Daksha had in his mind. Yeah. So K.K. Dasandari Mataji, the question Gaurangi Mataji was asking is, what is the correlation between the situation and the curse? Like, for example, she said, when Nalakuvera and Manigriva were cursed, the curse they were given is to stand as trees. The reason is because they were naked and they were oblivious of their dresses or clothing and they were enjoying. So seeing that situation, Narada Muni gave an appropriate curse that you stand as trees or, you know, like that. You see, like, for example, Indradyumna Maharaj also, he was given this curse to take a dumb body of an elephant. This is how the wording of Srimad Bhagavatam is, because you're standing like a dumb man, like as if you don't know anything, you're not even responding to me, Agastya says, like that. So where is the corresponding understanding is what she was asking. So if he has to travel, where is converting boys into sannyasi got to a person traveling around the world? So that was the question she asked.
Okay, thank you. I think for the answer of Anjana Gopika Mataji is perfect. So that she doesn't have more influence on such people.
Influence, yeah.
Yeah, and the four types of sannyasis that you were telling is Bahuda, Kutichak, Parivajacharya, and Paramhamsa.
Mm.
Yeah, so better be Parivajacharya so that you don't stay. You know, that's the reason she was given that kind of stuff. Yeah, thank you
both. All of you. Thank you, Anjana Gopika Mataji also. Very nice. Any other questions or comments or realizations, additions? We'll end the class. Thank you all so much again. We'll end the call. Vancha Kalpataru Vescha Kripa Sindhubhya Ivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Ananta Koti Vaishnav Vrinda Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Srila Sanatan Goswami Ki Jai Shri Shri Brihad Bhagavatam Rata Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji. And what's Mataji? Hare Krishna.
Our great Kriti Vilasini Mataji. Hare Krishna Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare.
Thank you, Mataji.